perhaps you pressure yourself to live in certain ways, and perhaps you pressure yourself to make certain amounts of money, and perhaps you have a lot of things that you should do. And you know, if you're anything like me, your potential creates somewhat of a tyrant, right? It's like a judge. And so once, as soon as you know what you could be, every time you're not that, you fall into this feedback loop of judging your own actions because you're falling short of your own potential, something that doesn't exist in the world, but something that, for whatever reason, we've agreed is real. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. So today I have some housekeeping news, and then I've also got a short topic that we'll talk about as well, just an observation about the current state of affairs of the world. And so first is housekeeping news. So one thing I wanted to mention, one thing I'm working on, those of you that have been following this morning coffee journey for the last year or so know that I really, for a long time, was focused on coaching, and that was sort of my primary mode of income. And then I've had to wrestle with this idea that I feel called to really put my focus and my attention into content creation, which is writing and speaking. Now, of course, speaking has taken somewhat of a weird turn. So right before I was getting ready to execute the first Clarity Academy seminar, which is sort of like a workshop based in some psychological principles and figuring out who you really are and what you want out of life, sort of the in-person version of the online school that I had, everything shut down, right? So right the day before it all started, everything shut down. And so I just took that as a time to focus and just listen, see what the world has been telling me, see what my environment is telling me, see what the people around me are telling me, and then try to make a more informed opinion on the best way to proceed forward. And of course, Danielle and I did that one episode where we really talked about how during times of chaos, it's not the time to make really big, bold decisions because you're not seated in a place of safety, right? So something to understand is that humans, we create safety, psychological safety, in order to explore. But it can't happen the other way around. So hear me on this. When you're growing up, your parents, their job is to provide a net of safety for you, right? A place that you know that you can come to where the world is safe. So if you ever see kids kind of hanging on their parents' legs and like kind of playing peekaboo behind their parents' legs, one of the things that's happening in that scenario is that they are in real time exploring the world that they don't know while clinging tightly to the world that they do know, right? And so that's the real job of parents. And one of the things that can be really difficult if a parent doesn't raise their kid with this sense of inherent safety in their environment, then what happens is that kid becomes very difficult for him to take risks in his life because he perceives the entire world as unsafe. And so with that being said, understand that if you feel a sense of safety, then you have the ability to go out and take risks. Now, as we grow up and we don't have our parents to create this safety net for us, one of the things that we do is we create rituals and we create habits and we create routines, which give us a psychological sense of safety so that then we can create out from that place, right? And so that is truly the reason that we celebrate our birthday every year and we have holidays, and like these things are important, and the federal government understands that they're important because it provides a natural rhythm to life. And so when that natural rhythm is being adhered to, you have this sense of safety, and then you can go out and then you can make tough decisions, you can explore, you can go out and fail, essentially, right? That's what happens. You want to be able to go out and fail at some things and learn, become stronger and better so that you can continue to push on into the unknown. Now, when you're in times of cultural chaos like we're in right now, the reason you don't want to make a tough decision is because you don't necessarily have that sense of psychological safety. In fact, what you want to do in times of chaos first and foremost is to create that for yourself. And so for me, I just found that if I stepped back from everything I thought I wanted to do and took a more contemplative approach to it. I could create that safety because really you step back and you can start to see through fear. And there's a line in the Tao Te Ching that says, those who see through fear will always be safe. And I think really, because you understand the real lie of what fear is, but you got to work through it. So all of that to say, I think I wanted to put a little psychological lesson into the housekeeping news to say that I've taken a step back, obviously, from speaking in person, as has every other person in the world. But what I'm going to do is I'm rebuilding my website right now, and I'm going to make an archive for mostly everything that I've ever done. So I'm going to put all like 500 of the old morning Lionheart Radio episodes on there. I'm going to add all of the lectures that I've given for Clarity Academy, for everything. I'm going to put them on there. And then I'm also going to update it. So as I give more lectures, so I've got 3 scheduled for this year remaining, and we'll see, you know, how that happens. But in order to make it accessible for everybody, I'm going to put them all up there, and I'm going to go to a pay what you want model for my entire business. I can't do that for my books, obviously, because there's a cost to, you know, being able to print the books. And so I could really lose my ass if I just gave all my books away. But I'm going to give all of the other content away, because part of what I saw during this pandemic was also that people were struggling, and sometimes needlessly, right? Sometimes we have to just go through the struggle, and that's just part of it. But at the same time, there's a level of wherewithal and self-awareness that people can garner in chaos, can learn to be contemplative. And I think part of the reason that this time was so prosperous for me is one, luck, right? I just, you know, so far I've been, you know, pretty lucky. Let's knock on wood, actually, as I say that. And then, you know, like there's a whole element to the life that we just can't control. And so I think it's stupid to not acknowledge that there's a inherent element of luck sort of built into whatever it is that happens for you in your life. But I also understand that there are tools that are out there. And as a coach, while I was coaching, one of my philosophies, I believe that a coach cannot give you answers. A mentor, you know, a book can give you wisdom. A mentor can give you guidance. A coach can give you tools. But none of those people can give you answers. You've got to take the guidance and the wisdom and the tools, and you've got to put them together to make it so that you can come to the answers that are actually going to satisfy your life. And so, to wrap up the housekeeping news and this little psychological lesson that I've built into it is, one, I'm going to make basically all of my lectures public, and there'll be a pay what you want model. So I know that people that are struggling right now and stuff, I want it to be available. You know, we did that for the book club, and I love that people can pay $1 if that's all that they have. Like truly, really, I feel called to do this. So I'm super excited to do that. I don't know how long it's going to take me. I'm pretty technologically inept, and I don't really want to pay someone to build it out. So I'm doing it. It might take me a few weeks or whatever, but literally archives of all of this stuff, if you've been following me for a while, will be available, and it will be a pay what you want model in order to access all of that. Now, that being said, I want to talk about something called consensus reality. And I want to talk about why it's breaking down right now. And I don't, again, don't want to give you any answers here, but I just want to make it available for you to think about it. So in order to break this concept down properly, I'm going to talk about the two functions of the brain. I'm going to talk about reality, and then I'm going to talk about the breakdown of consensus reality. So we're going to have to sort of bracket our thinking here. So first, understand that your brain has two primary functions, okay? The first is survival. Now, everything that the brain thinks about or does is most likely first run through the lens of survival, as in, will I survive if I do this, right? So the brain teaches you to engage with your environment in a way and to manipulate the inputs in a way that ensures survival. And the second thing that your brain does is it's meaning making, right? It helps you find what is inherently meaningful to you. And it does that by running all of your experiences through your intrinsic value set. And when your experiences and your values are in alignment, you get the subjective sense of meaning, okay? Now, sometimes people get stuck in life, and the reason they get stuck is because the two sides of their brain are stuck, right? So maybe, for example, you want to do something that the brain thinks is adverse to survival, but actually for meaning. So what I mean by this is, like, maybe you want to start a business, right? And your brain is telling you that actually you need to prioritize bringing home money right now. And so that's your survival side. And then at the same time, you've got this meaning-making side that's like, but I don't really feel a sense of innate meaning in my job. And so I want to pivot into this new direction, and you're stuck. You're literally stuck between the two sides of your mind. Now, Danielle on her Instagram this week is doing all of her posts. She's kind of like theming her posts, and this week she's doing them on courage. And one of the things that we were talking about as she was like kind of creating this is that really courage is, you know, sure, you want to be able to face external factors, of course, but like there's a level of courage to be able to face yourself and to be in that mode of being stuck and try to see through it and realize, okay, I'm not risking my survival right here. I need to reassure myself that I'm not. I need to have courage to stand up to the smaller version of me that wants me to stay stuck. And I've got to have courage to step into that unknown and chase the meaning, right? Or not chase it, but to apprehend the things I need to do in my life in order to create meaning, okay? So our brain has, that's how our brain navigates reality. It is always toggling back and forth between survival and meaning. And sometimes, you know, if you approach one or the other, things get really wonky, right? Like if you only go after meaning and you're reckless for survival, well, then you die and you don't pass on your genes. So anyone that did that's most likely not your ancestor. But at the same time, if you only focus on survival, which people do, consider agoraphobia, right? The fear of going outside of your house. You have elevated this survival need so high that it's beyond rational thought, right? And so in that, you have no meaning in your life, no sense of meaning. You're actually trapped by your sense of survival or your desire for survival. Okay, so that's the way that your brain is navigating reality. Now, the next thing you need to understand is, well, then what is reality? So this gets a bit wonky when you really start breaking it down. And there's a couple TED Talks on what is real that are sort of based philosophically in nature. And they what you start to find is there's a little bit of a breakdown on what's real. So to understand reality, we have to understand agreement, okay? So think about it this way. Your mind tells you what something is, okay? It tells you like, oh, that over there is a desk and that's a couch and that's a TV. Now, if nobody else thinks that that's a couch and that's a TV and that's a desk, then you're not in reality, right? Do you understand that? That's how we as humans decide what reality is. Multiple people agree on what it is. And so that's why when somebody has a hallucination, whether it's drug-induced, right, whether it's prophetic, maybe they just literally have some odd vision of their future, kind of like I did, actually had a dream about Danielle before I met her, and then there's a bunch of other ways, right? You get really sick, you get the flu, you hallucinate. So when you hallucinate and nobody else sees what you're seeing, you're deemed not to be in reality. Well, we also have this interesting trend in Western culture where we really only, you know, as a consensus, we all agree that reality has something to do with material. So we don't necessarily, as you know, church and state are separating, as we are becoming more secularized in our thinking, and we're sort of downstream from the post-enlightenment movement, we tend to put all of our stock in material. And what that means is that we all, as a culture, agree that anything transcendent is also not reality, right? Reality is what we agree on, everybody experiences in a similar way. And so I don't want to get down to the nuances of the philosophical idea about what reality is, but just understand as a basis, that's essentially how we're making our decisions in life. And you can see that everywhere in our culture, right? Because if it's not material, it really isn't that paraded or prized right now. It's like we don't really put a lot of prize on the spirit. But then anybody that ignores the transcendent, you find that that manifests as sort of dis-ease or illness in its own way. And that's actually what I found, which led me on the journey that I'm on. It's like all of the growth was good, making all of the money was good, but maybe I still feel like I have a hole in my heart, like there's something missing, or in my soul, or I don't know, it feels like there's something more to me. And then you start to realize that all of the concepts that we think are the most important in our life actually don't exist anywhere in reality. For example, potential, right? Potential doesn't exist anywhere in the world. I know I've talked about this before, but I'm sort of kind of putting bows on all of these ideas. So potential doesn't exist anywhere in the world, and yet you and I know it's extremely important. you know, you're almost judged based on whether or not you live up to your potential by your peers, and your potential doesn't exist anywhere in the material world. It's like, what the hell is going on there? It's just a concept, but it's a concept that we've all agreed on. And so it's a concept that finds its way into what we call consensus reality. Now, what's happening in 2020 is that we're having a massive breakdown of consensus reality. But this has been happening for a while. I write about it a little bit in both of my books because it's something I'm interested in. Because, you know, I look around and it's like everyone agrees that, for example, the American dream is the way that you are going to become prosperous in this life. And I just, you know, I bought a house and stuff and I was like, I don't feel prosperous. I feel chained to the fucking ground. Like, this doesn't feel... this doesn't feel like what people say it should feel like. And so I started to question consensus reality. Well, right now we're at a sense where there's, you know, even mainstream, like we'll talk about the mainstream media, but like it's not, right? Because think about like Rogan, let's say, for example, as a podcast, gets far, far, far more listens than any show on mainstream media. And we don't consider him the new mainstream necessarily, right? And so what I'm saying is the consensus about how to be in the world and what's considered mainstream and what we all agree on has completely changed. Case in point, the Pentagon just released information saying basically, listen, there are aliens, there are at least, you know, UFOs that are not from this world. And it's not even that big of a deal right now because we're in a pandemic and we're in a race war. And you got the like Jeffrey Epstein thing going on and Australia burned to the ground. And so what I'm saying is for some, it's a big deal, but consensus reality is totally broken down now. Nobody even agrees on outrage anymore. And in fact, look at the mask issue, right? Like really, for whatever reason, people can't even agree on whether they should cover their face to make other people safe or not. Like there's no consensus in reality anymore. And so the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I wanted you to be able to step back and just realize that perhaps you pressure yourself to live in certain ways, and perhaps you pressure yourself to make certain amounts of money, and perhaps you have a lot of things that you should do. And, you know, if you're anything like me, your potential creates somewhat of a tyrant, right? It's like a judge. And so once, as soon as you know what you could be, every time you're not that, you fall into this feedback loop of judging your own actions because you're falling short of your own potential, something that doesn't exist in the world, but something that for whatever reason we've agreed is real, right? And you feel that. And so that sense of what you could be becomes a tyrant for everything that you're not, you know? And the problem is when you come up with this idea of what you could be, it's based on a conglomerate of information. It's based on things that you've seen in your life. It's based on the collective unconscious that you've inherited from the culture that raised you, right? And so it's based on whatever maybe like religious upbringings you've had, and understand that that was just, again, the way that you heard it. It was just the peoples who interpreted it, right? And then also that it was how you heard it. So there's like a game of telephone that goes on there. So a lot of what you're holding yourself to, it's not reality. You know, it's a story that you're telling yourself, you're believing, and you're reinforcing. And the thing that really made this clear for me was scripture. You know, I was brought up to believe certain things about Christianity. It really didn't work for me, and I pretty much fell out of it. And as I started reading the scripture for myself, I realized, oh, actually what was happening is I was getting this lesson through two people's trauma. Right? Do you understand that? So there's the trauma that I had growing up. Everybody does. Might not be massive trauma. It could be like little, what they call little t trauma, just things you couldn't make sense of as a kid. And so they traumatized you because you didn't understand them. They took away some sense of that psychological safety that we're talking about. Right. And so the person that's like, let's say preaching, they also have that. And so they're saying something based on the world that they've gone through and seen and the collective unconscious that they've inherited. And then I'm reading it through the lens that I have, which is also different, right? And then I'm creating an internal tyrant that's kind of basically beating me up my whole life based on these principles that are nowhere near reality. Do you understand that? We happen to think that the things that we think are reality. That's what happens. We think that the way we were raised or the thing, like when we think, oh, I have to live up to my potential, I should be this way, I should care about this, we think that that's reality, but there's been a complete and utter breakdown of consensus reality on everywhere that you look. And so don't feel as though you have to cling to it anymore. Actually, put it down. Look around. Understand that we're all sort of sitting with this blank canvas, and there is so much that we can do with it. But we've got to start putting the ideas of what we should be and who we should be down and just be who we are. Because at the end of the day, when we talk about that meaning-making side of the brain, that's what it's after, you know? Because your internal value system, it's not the same as mine. It's not the same as your culture's. Now, it might be. That's how we all sort of exist, how we coexist harmoniously to some degree, because we have overlapping values. But in a lot of ways, they're not the same at all. And so maybe you have to break from the path that you've seen. You know, does that make sense to you? Maybe you have to, like, maybe you have to step away from consensus reality and recapitulate the picture for yourself, because perhaps what you're seeing isn't, it's not what's in reality. It's what you're telling yourself about reality. And so in this, you find a great opportunity to, you know, I don't want to say reinvent yourself, but in a lot of ways that's true. You have a opportunity to look at things more neutral and to rebuild in a way that is in alignment with that meaning-making side of your brain, and that's your value system. So hopefully this makes sense for you. I know we covered a ton of ground in this one. I am super excited, though, about this archive. I'm super excited to offer my lectures and a lot of my body of work to people, literally so that every single human in the world can afford it. I'm super excited about this. And also just wanted to give you some ideas, some things to think about as far as the way you're navigating this world, because by and large, the rule book, if 2020 has given us anything, it has thrown the rule book for how to be here out the window. And we have an opportunity to recreate it in a way that maybe we don't resent as much. You know, we can recreate it in a way that feels authentic to who we are and what we want out of our lives. And then maybe we find that we're better for the world in that way. You know, maybe you find that as you start to go after what you actually want to in life, and you give this side of your mind that's meaning making more autonomy to help you navigate the world, what you find is that you're a better lover and a better partner and a better friend, because you're going after what you want to go after in life. And one of the things that I've become really clear on in the last few years is the fact that having a really good lover and a really good partner and a really good friend in somebody's life can make a massive world of difference. Really, at the end of the day, I think that if we can become a little more of who we are and we realize we don't need to be so isolated from each other, we can actually just support each other in our own sort of interesting endeavors that we feel called to, because there is no more consensus of how we're supposed to be here. We're actually just free to support people and what they want and to go after what we want. And my thought is that if enough people do that, then we become authentically there for the people in our lives that we actually love. And then again, this is how we rebuild the world. This is how we rebuild society. This is how we make our lives something that is worth all of the pain that they're going to go through. 2020 has shown us anything, it's that. Just a couple ideas to think about. Anyway, tomorrow I will be here with Caitlin Chacon talking about how to take a little rest and to ask yourself some deep questions when the hustle is no longer working for you. I love you guys. Have an amazing Tuesday. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.